Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran, and we've got an outstanding show coming up for you today. But first, we want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirades, Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens, and Lifeline's Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And, of course, I want to thank all of our sponsors and you, our great listeners. We could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And, you know, Tom, it's a little bit different being here back in our regular time slot, 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night.
I know. Charlie was just telling me, he said, you guys are getting spoiled on you. On that daytime slot.
Yeah, I know. It's almost like we had a little, you know, temporary active duty deployment there.
I know. Do what, Charlie? TDY, yeah. Charlie called it.
There you go. All right. But, it's been a couple of weeks because of Auburn basketball, which just wrapped up right before us tonight. But we've gotten preempted, I guess you could say, and we've jumped to the 1 o'clock time slot. And we're really happy to be able to join the folks over at Ed Seafood Shed and broadcast along with Sean Sullivan in the midday program. Then we moved over to the battleship. And it was kind of eerie, Tom. One of those days with the heavy fog, and you can only imagine what it must have been like being out, in the open sea when you're in something like that, when you can't see anything around you.
Well, you know, this old country boys talk about, you know, and the fog got so heavy we had to take out our pocket knives and cut a hole through it to try to walk forward, you know, and that's kind of like it was. So I don't know. I guess they could have put up some helicopters on a string and our rope and put them out in front of them and let them stir that up for them to move forward. But, man, it was so thick we couldn't see, you know, 50 feet in front of you.
Yeah, it was just kind of amazing being out there. It just as beautiful as a clear blue day that we've been out there, but you know, just really eerie and kind of puts you in that the shoes of those sailors that would have been on there, and what they must have been thinking trying to go through something like that. But anyway, it's great to be back in our regular time slot.
But that's another thing I was thinking about in regards to that was it to. The unbelievable weather there, especially for our ships, and even though we were aboard the USS Alabama, you know, and it's docked there on the causeway, I was just thinking about, you know, and Captain Howe, and in fact that he was in trouble at that time, and he was trying to get through that fog to get to heaven as well. So, I'm sure he made it all right, and we'll get a report from Pete Ream tonight about that and see when his ceremony is going to be.
Yeah, we will. We'll talk with him later. We'll also talk with Mr. Lou Lartigue from the South Alabama Veterans Council. He'll get us up to speed on the latest from the council and the events going on for our veterans. We'll also speak, as Tom said, with Pete Ream. He's going to share with us details on the passing of one of Mobile's great treasures, Captain Hal Pierce. And we'll also talk with Rusty Doss. He's going to join us from VFW Post 7320 out in Saraland. He's going to get us the scuttlebutt on what's happening out there. Also, a World War II Marine's Valentine wish and what you can do to help out. And if you missed it, on the 1 o'clock show last week, we're going to have Tom's tirade on sympathy for the devil once again. But first, it was in 2014 that the VA waitlist scandal erupted and laid bare the systemic problems within the VA healthcare system. Now, over 5 years later, a report from the Inspector General details how the wait time problem may be long from gone, even with billions of dollars in reforms. And, you know, Tom, the story is off Stars and Stripes, but the Department of Veterans Affairs, patients seeking private sector health care saw a nearly two-month delay for medical appointments in 2018, and the IG says the problem could worsen under this new Mission Act. The IG report based its conclusions on the region of VA hospital that includes 1.6 million veterans across Florida, South Georgia, Puerto Rico, and the Caribbean. VA officials in that region referred more than 206,000 requests in 2018 for community care at clinics outside the VA network, with veterans facing a fixed 56-day wait on average before receiving care, according to the report. And it goes on to say, Tom, that the veterans could face even greater wait times. The problem could balloon under the reforms in the Mission Act. You know, the Mission Act, Tom, for those that aren't familiar with it, it aims to expand the scope of private sector health care that veterans can receive outside the VA network. But I think, Tom, one of the issues there is that when you look at the wait times in the private sector of health care, they're fairly long as well. I mean, many of our listeners may have to deal with something outside of the VA. If you are new to the system.
Yeah. I can give you a prime example. You know, even just on the outside care, I tried to make an appointment with a doctor the other day, and it's March the 18th. I'm going like, what? What? Are you kidding?
No. It is, Tom. And so, when you think about it, you know, maybe, although, yes, 56 days, if you've got something that is, you know, is something acute, something like that, and you don't, you know, you really want to avoid going into the emergency room, you know, that's a long time. But at the same time, Tom, you know, you just got to look at where we are in our healthcare system right now. With so much of the managed care and, you know, Obamacare has pushed so many providers out of the system, they just closed up shop because it wasn't worth it. It's supply and demand. You only have so many slots, and you have more and more people trying to get in those slots. And Tom, I'll say this, you have this concept of managed care where, and I know you, the VA, you see it in the VA, but you know, the VA wants you, even though you're in the healthcare system for, I think, your hearing, but they want you to come in and they want to do all your physicals and they want to check this and they want to check that. And you have all these different services that are trying to compete. I mean, the VA, Medicare, local doctors, all of that, all trying to compete for your time and your dollars. Yep. And if, you know, if you're going in, they want you to come in and do blood work every 6 months or whatever it might be, whether you need it or not.
Yep.
So the person that says, wait a minute, I really need to come in and be seen for something, well, you've already got that slot.
Yeah. So, you know,
I think
we've got that with just our normal personal stuff. And I don't see why some of that, you know, because we have Medicare and Medicaid in some areas and other insurance packages that are on the table. I don't see why we're burning all of those slots up because we're not paying for it anyway. You know, we're actually Well, excuse me. We're paying for it with our insurance and our Medicare that we're paying for. But, you know, then we're going to tie up all the VA facilities as well.
Well, you know, so many of those instances, Tom, that doctor or that facility, they're getting paid X number of dollars to get you in the door,
right,
for the blood work and the procedures and all,
right,
of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that there's going to be a consistent check, a steady check coming from somewhere, whether it's an insurance company or whether it's Medicare, Medicaid,
right,
whatever it might be. And so, yeah, I think we need to, you know, it's kind of like going to Starbucks, which I don't do anymore, but, you know, you're in the drive-through line for Starbucks, and all you want is a cup of coffee, and, you know, you have people in front of you who want to get one of these frou-frou drinks, and they block the whole thing.
Slurpees.
Why can't they just have an express lane? All I want is a cup of coffee. Anyway. On the other side of the break, Mr. Lou Lartigue from the South Alabama Veterans Council. We'll speak with him when we return on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. The voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. Check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired shows are up via podcast on most of the podcast sites. You can always search SBN or Scuttlebutt. And if you like to listen to Tom's tirade on demand and get a little your blood pressure up a little bit, that's at castbox.net. So there's a way to check out the Scuttlebutt really anytime you like. But it's a pleasure to be joined on the Scuttlebutt by veteran patriot Mr. Lou Lartigue from the South Alabama Veterans Council. Lou, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, Cal. Thank you, Tom, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure to have you on here just about any time that we can get you. As we were talking about off the air, you have so many irons in the fire, sometimes we have to make an appointment to get to you.
Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of people that fit that same mold throughout the South Alabama area, and I'm proud to be one of them, but there's a lot of people who put in a lot of work.
Yeah, you know, it's surprising how many of our vets actually do participate, and they stand up and volunteer, and they're involved in more than just one event. I see guys that have got their fingers in 8 or 10, 12 pies, you know.
Exactly, and I guess that's evidence, too, about like our last meeting, our South Alabama Veterans Council meeting, we had over 50 people there. Our guest speaker was the former mayor of Mobile, Mike Dow, who gave an excellent talk. And also we had Admiral Kent Davis from the retired admiral from the Alabama Department of Veteran Affairs there.
Right.
And he briefed us on the upcoming the new veterans home,
right,
that's going to be built in Alabama, which is very interesting, and I thought I'd bring a little bit of that information to the program. And
well, do that, Lou. Let us, you know, bring that forth as to the fact that we have so many veterans that are in some of our veterans hospitals on the one hand, but then we have a waiting list of 2,000 or 3,000 veterans that are waiting to get into all of these facilities, so therefore we would definitely need it, but at least one new one, and it's going to take a couple of years to get there, I think. But we have another area that we need
back
to...
Back in 2018, they hired the public consulting group to come in and take a look at just where we stand in the state of Alabama, and they project that by the year 2045, we're going to need over 1,400 beds. And right now we're only servicing 704 in the four homes that we have. So that tells a story right there that we're going to need another 10 to 12 homes to fill that void. Well, the state stepped up, and but you know, strangely, the state of Alabama is limited right now to 1,007 beds, and by law.
Right.
And
right.
I still don't understand that, but there's more to be learned. But anyway. We got a new home approved. They did, and as the survey said, the most the unsupported area in the state was the Wiregrass area. They went out with a bid. A request for proposal came in. 12 communities in the Sawgrass area, six or seven counties over there, came back with outstanding proposals. But the Enterprise, Alabama area, came in with the best. And so Enterprise was chosen for the next home. So hopefully by 2023, we will be servicing another 150 to 170 beds in that area.
Well, that is so neat. And for the benefit of the people that are listening and they're wondering, where the hell is the Sawgrass area? We're talking about over in Enterprise, Dothan, in that area. Over there in the eastern part, southeastern part of the state of Alabama. And this home is actually going to be located in Enterprise, is that right?
Yeah, right outside of Fort Rucker. And Enterprise did a great thing. They sweetened the pot by giving the state 100 acres of land to build a home on. Not only that, but I think about $10-12 million.
Right, right, yes.
To help out with that the construction of that. So Enterprise really stepped up, so to speak, and a lot of that is based. The proposal was based on the proximity to medical support, medical help,
right,
and a town that could support visiting families,
right,
and
right.
All of these different factors.
Well, all those,
in the
all those characteristics have to be considered, you know, because you don't want to put someplace where the people don't have any place to stay, and the roads and the other areas and businesses can't support it.
Exactly, and you know, the State Veterans Board is made up of 13 veteran service organizations that from all over the state. Like the VFW has two or three members, the American Legion has two or three, the Purple Heart, John New represents us, the from down here, Pat Downing represents us from MOA. So a lot of these organizations go up there and advise Admiral Kent Davis on, and they formed a board to actually go out and make this proposal happen, make the selection happen, and they did a wonderful job, and he just praised them and that committee for what they had done. So
all right.
This is really a boon for our veterans in the state.
Another facet that he brought to our attention that's extremely important, I think, is the fact that we had lost with 17 VA service officers throughout the counties in the state of Alabama back in, 16, and he's putting some of them back?
Yes. As a matter of fact, they're hiring 10. They got, I think we have 63 or 67 counties, 63 counties, and we were down to 50.
Right.
He's hired back 10 of those people. He's bringing them on board to staff those other counties that did not have them. And then he's going to cover the rest until he can get those staffed with traveling from different counties to travel around.
Right.
And like our local Mobile representative is located down at the Bay Hayes building, and Open Baldwin County is located in Foley and travels between Foley and Bay Minette. And I think they have saved the veterans in the state of Alabama over $2 billion in the past few years.
Oh, my goodness. That is unbelievable.
With their VA claims.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Those guys are doing a yeoman's job, and I don't think very many people understand that that Admiral Kent Davis has a large number of people working for him, and the state is really working for him.
Right.
But we got a lot of catching up to do up there.
All right. It's a, yeah, you know, we weren't aware of a lot of that stuff as well, though, Lou. But Charlie, you got a caller? All right. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your Blue Star salute there. To close out,
yeah,
we have a couple of minutes left.
Together, we do this every year. We're in our 12th year
right.
On it now, and we're doing great, wonderful things there. We it's a year long planning event, and we got a big budget, and we have a lot of great sponsors around the Mobile Baldwin County area that help us out. And this year we got on the 16th of May in 2020 here, we have a lot of activities planned. We got, of course, the Silver Wings jump team coming in from Fort Benning, Georgia, that does a high halo jump into the battleship area.
Right.
And great show. I tell you, they've done it for the past 2 years, and it's just amazing. And I encourage the folks out there to go to armedforcesdaymobile.com and take a look at that, what went on last year in the video that those jumpers took coming out of the helicopter until they landed.
Right.
I mean, it is awesome.
All right, Lou, hang on, and we're going to carry forward to the next segment, but we also going to pick up Pete Reaming there again. And for additional information on the Scuttlebutt, you go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And when we return to the Scuttlebutt, we will have Brother Pete Ream on, and we will finish up with Brother Lou Lartigue.
Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
No, sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us tonight on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters here with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Hey, check us out on Facebook. A lot of good information gets posted there, especially some of the stories that we talk about throughout the course of the show. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
And we certainly want to thank all the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline's Counseling Service, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And, you know, Tom, before we jump back in with Lou, and I don't know if we've got Pete on the line, I just got this today, so it is hot off the presses, I guess you could say. You know, we were at the battleship last week, but we got the numbers for their attendance for last year, for 2019. This past year, they saw 451,601 visitors.
That is awesome.
That toured the park. It is, and I think you know, General Cobb, who's the executive director there, was kind of targeting that number. So I think that's great. You know, during the past 54 years, 18 million people have visited the park, and of course they continue to expand it. And as I'm sure most of our audience knows, but some may not, they do not receive any taxpayer funding. They are self-sufficient, so it's the folks who come in
right.
and visit that help make things possible. But again, prior to the break, we were talking to Lou Lartigue. I know Lou is still on here with us. Lou, again, thank you for joining us.
Hey, well, thanks for having me. And I know Tom asked me to say something about our website, savc.com, net, that went off of the air right after we sent that Iranian general off to get his virgins, we were hacked along with other organization, military organizations by the by somebody who. But anyway, I've been in a process with the FBI and the Homeland Security in trying to straighten all of that out. But we had to take our website down, and we're rebuilding it, and we will have it back up. So if anybody's wondering where we went, we'll be back. And just to let everybody know we got the general.
There you go, man. I'll tell you what, we appreciate that, Lou. We appreciate you guys being involved in all the things that you are. And we also got the word from the general that the Korean Monument is going to be taken care of. There's money that's already been generated for that. So it's just awesome to see everything that's going on over at the battleship.
Yeah, General Cobb made a good comment. She said, "You don't turn south off the causeway."
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's kind of dumb to turn south off the causeway, or even north, really.
That's right. Yeah. Either way, you're going to be wet.
Thank you for being on, big guy. We appreciate it. We've got Pete Ream on board here now, and he's going to get him on board here with us and bring us up to date about Captain Howe.
That's a much more important subject, so if you want to break to him, go for it.
All right, brother. Thank you. You there, Brother Pete?
Hey, hoorah, Marines.
Hoorah, hoorah. Yeah, we need that from a sailor.
From a squid?
From a squid. Well, you know what? Bless your heart. I guess I'm going to have to get on you now because I used to tell Captain Howell he was the best damn Uber driver we ever had.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, man, we lost our Sea Lord. Come on.
We did, and I appreciate y'all giving me a chance to call in. For those of y'all know, Captain Hal Pierce, Captain United States Navy, retired, who has been literally an icon in South Alabama for probably half a century almost.
Amen. Sure.
And he was... those of you that know him, he's larger than life. Right. And the Sea Lord... Last Friday afternoon, he crossed the bar.
Yes. Yep.
And he's going to be sorely, sorely missed. I really can't say enough good things about him. I've been here, I guess one thing to put it, I've been here almost 20 years in Alabama, and I've been involved in a lot of different things with veterans and military around here, and there ain't one of them that I've done that he wasn't front and center.
Right. He was always there. And
always there.
He was leading it.
He was.
Yep.
Well, he was real good at pulling the pin on the grenade and saying, "Here, hold it."
Yeah, don't turn it loose because it'll blow you up, so you better get your job done.
No, he would get people going. He was such a force for good, and he loved the veterans. He loved the Navy.
Right.
He loved Mobile. And you know, one of the things that was so great about him, and you know, we're not going to know, for generations, we're going to be feeling the impact of all the things he did, because he was involved in so many things. Here was good for the community, for the veterans, from helping with the cemetery to the VA clinic to the stuff we do for Mardi Gras, all that stuff. But he loved everything.
Right.
He had genuine, childlike excitement every time a Navy ship came to this port.
Oh, yeah.
Or any time we did a ceremony for veterans, like Korean War veterans or whatever, he was really just excited and enthusiastic, and it was infectious.
It was.
He made everybody, you know, excited about it, and you wanted to do stuff.
Sure.
That he was a driving force.
Yep. Well, now, do we have any information yet as to the ceremony that will be held over at the battleship?
I don't have... I can give you a date, but I have no details. I literally just an hour ago found out probably going to be the 10th of February.
Okay. But
Some issues. His family... He's got family all over the country that's trying to get here. A bunch of logistical issues. So... I think there's going to be the family's going to have a small private service, and then there's probably going to be, that I don't know the details or shape of it, a large memorial service out at the battleship.
Okay. Well,
he was a battleship, he was a commissioner on the Battleship Commission for, I don't know, 3 decades.
Right. Well, how about you get the, when you get the information, bring it forth to us maybe next week, next Wednesday?
As soon as I have details, yes. All right. Will get it to you, and I'll call back next week and let you know, because we should have details in the, coming out tomorrow or Friday.
That would be great. Give us, give our listeners a little plug there about your show on 106.5.
Well, you know, if your life is right, at 8 p.m. every night, you're turning on FM Talk 106.5, and on Wednesday night, you're listening to Scuttlebutt. And then, you know, Thursday night, you're listening to Common Sense Radio.
Common Sense, right.
Right, because if you're listening to Scuttlebutt and Common Sense, you know everything right and wrong.
There you go. Yeah, we can lead you in the wrong direction a lot of times here.
Yeah.
All right, Captain Pete, is that Captain or Commander?
I'm Commander. Captain. Sea Lord was the Captain.
Sea Lord, well, we're going to have to make you the new Sea Lord. I see that.
I don't know about that.
All right.
Look, I don't know if anybody can ever fill those shoes.
No,
like I said, God, you know, fair winds and following seas to our Captain Pierce. I can't say enough how much personally I'm going to miss him. But
right.
But this community is going to miss him. Everybody misses him. And I'm going to tell you that every important person and politician is calling, trying to find out when they're going to be there. They want to pay tribute.
It's going to be an awesome ceremony. Sure will. Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it, brother.
All right. Thank you all.
All right.
Care.
Common Sense on Thursday nights at 8.
Yeah, you know, Tom, we really did lose an icon in the Mobile community, as Pete mentioned, and we will certainly pass on the information on the arrangements for Captain Hal as soon as we have them. But we certainly want to thank Pete for being with us. And, you know, we may pull up some of those quotes from Captain Hal. He's been on the show.
A good he has.
We might be could pull some dust up.
Fighting right. soldiers
anyway,
the
hey,
sky.
On the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on sympathy fearless for the devil, all that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
Mr. Tom Claxton.
In all the faux outrage over the killing of the Iranian terrorist General Qasem Soleimani, you might have missed the fact that we lost two of our heroes in uniform this weekend. The two soldiers were killed when their vehicle hit an improvised explosive device in Afghanistan, where paratroopers assigned to the 82nd Airborne Division, the Defense Department announced this Sunday. The IED attack took place Saturday in Afghanistan's Kandahar province, which borders Pakistan to the south. Killed in the blast were Staff Sergeant Ian P. McLaughlin, 29, of Newport News, Virginia, and PFC McGill A. Villon, 21, of Joliet, Illinois, according to a release. Both soldiers were attached to the 307th Brigade Engineer Battalion, 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 82nd Airborne Division out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I hope that the irony of this event is not lost on the communist Democrats and Trump haters out there, that two members of the 82nd Airborne were killed just days after their fellow soldiers were deployed to Kuwait as part of our quick reaction force in response to heightened tensions with Iran, and they were killed by an IED, which was the calling card of murderer Soleimani. As I mentioned in last week's tirade on American First, McLaughlin, who joined the Army in 2012, leaves behind a wife and four children, while Villon joined in 2018 and survived by his mother and father. Now, I spent a fair amount of time trying to keep up with the news, especially when it comes to our military and veterans. Yet, I have not been able to find hand-wringing Chuck and Nancy or their Democratic communist thrones over the deaths of these two American heroes, which is a stark contrast to the beatification that the left wanted to bestow upon the very evil Soleimani. Even George Stephanopoulos, hardly a conservative Trump supporter, felt the need to challenge the speaker on her support for the protesters in Iran trying to overthrow the hardline mullahs that have run that country since the 1979 takeover by Muslim extremists. Here is the Botox beauty in her own words from the ABC's This Week with Little Georgie.
We're seeing now demonstrations in the streets of Iran against the regime. Do you support those protesters, and would it be a good thing if they brought the regime down?
Well, the protesters are protesting, as I understand it, this brand of protesters, about the fact that that plane went down. And many students were on that plane, and these are largely students in the street. I think the Iranians should have not had commercial flights going off when there
was... They're calling at the regime for lying. They're saying death to Khamenei as well.
No, well, whatever it is. But the fact is this, there were protesters in the streets before against the regime. After the taking out of Soleimani, there were protesters in the street joined together, as you know, against us. That wasn't good. Taking down this plane is a terrible, terrible tragedy, and they should be held accountable for letting commercial flights go at a time that was so, so dangerous. But there are different reasons why people are in the street. Of course, we would love to see the aspirations of the people of Iran realized with a better situation there. But escalating the situation, unless we've exhausted every other remedy.
Which we haven't?
Well, we don't know that. We don't know that. And if the first first action to be taken on the threat of... there are a lot of bad actors who are doing bad things and threatening bad things to us. We know that, Iran being one of them, and it being its proxies doing bad things to our interests throughout the world. But how do we deal with that in a way that calms rather than escalates?
Now, don't get me wrong. Anyone who has listened to SBN for a few minutes should know that I am no fan of Nancy Pelosi. I believe that she is a vapid hairhead whose Botox injections have seeped into her cranium. How she can think that her comments were in any way coherent are beyond belief. And yet, here she is, the third in line to the presidency, blathering on about just which protesters were out on the streets in Tehran, even though it was widely evident that they were shouting death to the regime and the current Ayatollah Khomeini. The fact that her greatest excuse for not coming out in support of those yearning for freedom under the dictatorial mullahs was that somehow she didn't have all of the facts further demonstrated her lack of intellectual honesty. Either she has failed to receive intelligence briefings that she is privileged to, or she was too busy hitting the cocktail fundraising circuit to remember. I mean, come on. At least Obama, Curry, and the Hildebeest blamed protests on a video that no one had ever seen in order to lie to the American people about Benghazi.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
Reality is that she is so desperate to remove Trump from office that he could successfully overturn the Iranian regime and replace it with a peaceful democracy, that she would accuse him of stifling the religious freedom of the Islamic terrorist mullahs. Make no mistake about it, Pelosi, Schumer, Schiff, the squad, and their ilk on the left have no real plan to improve America or promote safety and security in the world. All they care about in the end is power, their own damn power. They care not for the average men and women of this nation, even less for our men and women in uniform. They will stop at nothing to destroy this president and his legacy. The Russian investigation, the attacks on his family, the phony impeachment, the constant labeling of Trump as racist, bigot, homophobe, misogynist, and WASP, among other things, are evidence of their guttural, irrational hatred for a duly elected president. What is most galling is that every time they attack President Trump, they also attack each of the red-blooded patriots who support him. I believe that in their blind rage, they have allowed themselves to fall victim to the old axiom that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. This is certainly apparent in the ongoing story of Iran. In other words and actions, Speaker Pelosi and her communist-leaning drones have aligned themselves with the hardliner mullahs in Iran over the people seeking freedom, including patriots such as you and me. I only hope that they realize that they are laying down with the devil in the process, and that is a deal that hardly works out in your favor in the end. for the Scuttlebutt Network. This is Tom Claxton. I guess you could say they have sympathy for the devil.
Welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM. Streaming live on ScuttlebuttNetwork.com along with Tom Claxton, Cal Walters, a couple old Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, great tirade there, Tom. Couldn't really have said it any better when you look at exactly who they aligned themselves with. But we got a great story. There is a there's a Marine out there that's actually older than you are, Tom.
Uh-oh. Man, that's like age.
Yeah, but yeah, believe it or not, 104-year-old Marine veteran. Yeah, World War II veteran. He's hoping to add to his memory collection by asking the public near and far for Valentine's Day cards.
Oh, my gosh.
California resident and retired Marine Major Bill White spent 30 years in the active duty corps. He has a Purple Heart medal that he was awarded after leading Marines under heavy Japanese fire during the Battle of Iwo Jima in World War II. But the retired major just wants a little bit of love this Valentine's Day.
What's wrong with
he
that?
Well, I'm not going there with you, Tom. Anyway. Oh, boy.
Okay, come on, Cal.
Anyway, yeah, he's asking for Valentine's cards. And anyway, his Valentine's Day cards can be sent to Operation Valentine. Attention, hold for Major Bill White, USMC retired, the Oaks at Inglewood, 6725 Inglewood Avenue, Stockton, California, 95207. And the story is up on our Facebook page. So if you couldn't quite catch the address, you know, everybody get out there, whether you're military or not, send him a Valentine's Day card and grant him his wish. 104. And four, really? Well, you know, Tom, back when you and he were both in, you know, you got your paychecks on a stone tablet.
Right, right, yeah. And I hope they, yeah, and you know, and that was just before we got caught in the halls of Montezuma.
Yeah, well, that, yeah, the shores of Tripoli, all that good
right,
stuff.
Yeah, too. Well, we was just having a big old beach party.
Oh, that's it. That's what the Marines do, have a big old beach party. But that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. We thank you for joining us. Hopefully you will join us again soon. Until then, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those that are in harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We will catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!